hard to describe it, is different up here. It's darker because you don't realize how much light that tree gives off. And I'm grateful for all those who put up and took down the decorations, but we should have left a note that they shouldn't pack away the people as well. So we'll get the people back out from storage. They'll be there, but the tree will still be gone until next year. So just clarify. But they're so efficient. I mean, I tell you what, if you're sitting there, you're gone. So grateful for that. The cold weather does a lot of different things, but one, at night, the sky seems to be so crystal clear. Have you noticed that some? Maybe you got out and saw the supermoon, isn't that what we called it? Where it was so bright and so big right at the beginning of the year. We think, especially Christmas time, this image like we sang this morning of stars guiding us, where our minds are often celestially focused. And it is a great time to be thinking about this scripture today and this idea about kind of how we see the world. Because if you get out in much of a place where you can have the horizon at night, and particularly if it's such a clear night, you kind of can get a sense how close the stars and the moon feel, like that you could almost touch them kind of thing. It really can feel like sort of like the sky is a bowl upside down. And it's so right there with the curve and everything else that, in our minds, we're scientific people. We know that the sky isn't an upside down bowl. We recognize we're on a planet that revolves around a sun. The stars are not just pinpricks in the top of this bowl that allow light in, but they are their cells, so billions of suns out there. But the visual of it doesn't take us too far away from kind of our ancient brothers and sisters viewing the world. We can get an idea in that moment how it could feel like you were living under a solid dome with holes punched in to let the lights twinkle through, or the rain to come down, or the snow to fall. It's not that big of a leap. The Bible describes it this way. He said in creation that God created the heavens and the earth. And on the first day, he said, let there be light, and there was light. But on the second day, God created a firmament, a firm something between the earth and the water. Let me read it to you in Genesis 1:6, which still is at the beginning of my Bible, which is good. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made a dome, separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, there was morning, the second day. Old Testament scholar Lawrence Boat tried to describe this image that the Hebrew people had in these writings of what the cosmology, what the earth looked like. And he said they understood the earth to be like a plate, flat. And this plate was in the midst of, all around it, water. Water above, water below, water everywhere. That's like Dr. Seuss or something, isn't it? But imagine there was a plate, and then there was this firmament, this dome that was created that kept the water off the top of the plate. And the plate itself was set on pillars deep into the water that was all around. So you imagine this plate, it kind of reminded me of the old 60s shows where they were living underwater and you had to create domes where people could live, right? So the Hebrews understood the creation to be like a plate that was sitting in this midst of water everywhere. There was a dome, a firmament called the sky above the earth that kept the waters out. And above the waters was where God dwelt. So you get the idea of this image. And if we can begin to see this is how the ancient writers felt and viewed creation, it tends to begin to make some of the Old Testament writings make sense. Like, for instance, we hear the story about Noah. And listen how this plays in right before the flood. So this is in chapter 7. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain fell on earth 40 days and for 40 nights. So can you envision if the earth is a plate sitting in the midst of water, that from these founts opened up, water would pour in from below because it's sitting in water, and the windows of heaven would be opened and water could pour in from the top. Can you imagine thinking about God reaching down and opening the windows in the oceans, gushing in? I believe the Hebrew people reading and hearing this could imagine that. They could imagine the water pouring in and only this firmament keeping the water out. There's a story of the people building a tower so tall that they could get to the top of it. Maybe if they could get through this covering, they could see God. Now, we know that's not how things work scientifically, but seriously, we've kind of embraced some of this old cosmology. When we think, where is God, which direction would you point? Up. Why? Because we sort of embrace, like, somehow God is above this stuff, heaven is there and up. I mean, we don't have just sort of something in our mind, maybe something that dwells with us, this deep memory from the past, that this solid sky somehow separates. And not only the waters from the waters, but separating us from God. God being up and above this place. So, with that idea, hear the good news of Jesus Christ as reported in the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Mark says that in those days, when the people still felt like the sky was a solid dome, and God was up there somewhere watching our every move. In those days, when John was trampling around in the wilderness, proclaiming, repent and be baptized, and dropping really strong hints that at any moment this God might just reach down through that firmament and squash those unrepentant like ants at a picnic. It was in those days that Jesus of Nazareth came down from Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the sky torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. The sky was ripped apart, Mark says. And this time when the sky was ripped open, it wasn't the oceans that poured through, but it was the Holy Spirit fluttering down like a dove. And the voice of God saying, here is my Son. And so, by now, this baptism story of Jesus is a central part of the good news we get. This is a deep part of the story. And today, maybe you can see why this matters so much. In this single, startling act, the Creator smashes through this firmament, this separation, this barrier that has separated us from God. And He doesn't do it because He's angry, but He does it in love. And in this moment of tearing apart the sky, of coming through, He bridges the gap between us and God forever. And He started it from God's side in. And this matters. It's why it's the good news. Now, I don't believe God ever intended to be separated from His creation the way that we sort of imagined it to be. as if to simply observe from above all the goings on and to look in, and as if someone were looking at pieces of cheese under the glass. The truth of the matter is that maybe God didn't really separate God's self at all, but it is us who have separated ourselves from God. That this firmament, this something firm between us and God that Genesis describes, maybe that's our creation. Maybe that's our input. This dome of the sky, a barrier between God and ourselves. It may be that in those primitive times, just as it is for us today, some of us still would prefer God to be on the outside of the glass. It just feels safer that way. But what the Bible says is that God doesn't want to be out there. The story of incarnation that we celebrate here is about a father who lifts up the lid, who sends his son inside the dome. A story of epiphany. That we learn that the father absolutely cannot bear to have himself or his son go unknown inside this dome. To be separate and apart is beyond God's willingness and desire. So he cracks open the dome. He shouts in a voice for all to hear, "Here is my son. Here he is. If you want to know me, get to know him," the voice calls. And at last, the barrier is gone. At last, the barrier is gone. Now, I've read this passage many times. I've preached on it probably 20 times. It comes up year after year. You've heard countless sermons. I don't know that I thought about the ripping open of the sky as important as it is, but when we think about it in Mark's way, maybe it's not just some figurative idea that the clouds separated and the light came streaking down in this amazing way that caught our attention, but it's more like a hammer. Let's get ready. I'm just kidding. I really wouldn't break that. But if you can imagine the smashing through of the barrier that we created, and Mark to understand the world looks like this, and this solid piece of something between us and God will not stand in God's sight, will not live, will not keep us separated, not because of our greatness or our desire, but because God refuses to be separated by any of our work, by any of our desire, by any of our barriers that we set forth. That's what Mark means when it is ripped apart, when this solid barrier is smashed into pieces. It's an epiphany. A moment of God's breaking through to humankind, making himself known. But epiphany isn't just in this moment. Epiphany is a movement. It's something that continues more on and on, again and again. God continuing to reach into each of our lives, breaking down all of the barriers and all the obstacles that we can create to put up above. And you know them. And the ancient Hebrews had nothing on us in terms of putting up walls between us and God's love and action in our life. We see this barrier one more time when Jesus is on the cross. And in the account, as he is hanging vulnerable in suffering, God tears the temple curtain in two from top to bottom. He rips it, same verb, in two. Now, this curtain is no little banner. This is feet thick and tens of feet high. This separation from the Holy of Holies where God dwells and the access of God's people in the temple. This giant piece of solid matter is torn apart. And God says to his people one more time, "Please do not separate yourselves from me. Don't let a barrier of this curtain or a barrier of the sky or the barrier of your own sin keep you at a distance anymore? Look, he said, look, look at the sun. Look, I have bridged the gap. I have broken through. I am with you now and forever.